The final lecture of the free online course Science and Philosophy is dedicated to the topic Evolutionary Biology and Creationism, Science or Pseudoscience. This lecture focuses on the scientific status of evolutionary biology and genetics. Within Western society, there is a tendency to raise science to special epistemic status. Science is always taken to be better than fairy tales, myths, and, of course, religion. If a claim is supposed to be scientific, then it is supposed to constitute some kind of absolute truth that will always be true and which is impossible to deny. So, for example, many times, in order to support a claim, we say that this is a fact that is scientifically proven. But is this attitude towards science correct? What if science is not the kind of secure, absolute knowledge that scientists make it out to be, and which most of us accept unreflectively? And if science can be questioned, then how does it compare with other predictive and explanatory devices, like myths and religion? A particularly interesting case in point is whether creationism should be taught alongside evolutionary biology as part of the standard curriculum in the schools in the United States of America. The standard approach to this long-standing debate is to claim that evolutionary biology, as opposed to creationism, is scientific. Therefore, we have a good reason to teach the one, but not the latter. Evolutionary biology is science, creationism is pseudoscience, and obviously we should always prefer disciplines that are scientific. However, upon further reflection, it is not quite obvious whether this claim is actually valid. For the second half of the 20th century, the best philosophers of science, philosophers like Sir Karl Popper, Thomas Kuhn, Imre Lakatos, and Paul Feyerabend, attempted to explain what science consists in and how it differs from myths and religion. And no matter how hard they tried, eventually the debate died out with the realization that science, much like religion, requires faith. To choose one scientific theory over another is simply a matter of aesthetics and the hope that this theory and not the other is going to work out better. There is no way to disprove or prove a theory, and since there is no way to prove it or disprove it, then there is no point where it becomes irrational for a scientist to stay with a failing theory. So the best example of this is the case of heliocentrism. Heliocentrism was first put forward about 2,000 years ago, and for about 1,600 years, it was a failing theory. However, at some point, Kepler and Galileo decided to take it up, and even though it was failing for 1,600 years, they managed to convert it in a very successful theory. The choice, however, to do so was not because the theory was a good one, since obviously it was failing for a long time, but simply because they liked it and for some reason they had faith in it. So scientists choose to stay with a theory simply because they have faith in it. So both science and religion seem to require faith, which means that it is not so easy to distinguish between creationism and evolutionary biology. Moreover, even by the most rigorous standards for distinguishing between science and pseudoscience, what is known as Imre Lakatos's sophisticated falsificationism, it would seem that evolutionary biology and creationism are actually on a par. So, creationism may not be scientific, but then again, neither is evolutionary biology, which appears unable to predict anything, but only provides an explanation for the phenomena after the facts have taken place. Parenthetically, this is what is known within philosophy as an ad hoc hypothesis. To introduce an explanation and a hypothesis only in order to explain something that is already known and not to provide an explanation or a prediction for something new. And most philosophers of sciences agree that introducing such ad hoc hypotheses within science should always be avoided because it turns a scientific theory into pseudoscience. However, both evolutionary biology and creationism are guilty of introducing such ad hoc hypotheses, and so it would seem that neither is scientific. Now, add to this the fact that genetics, which is a special discipline of evolutionary biology, is facing a number of anomalies that, like any other discipline in the past, in any other scientific field, is most likely to change in the future. And it becomes even less obvious why evolutionary biology and genetics should be taught in schools as scientifically proven theories, but reject creationism as being pseudoscientific. So this lecture, delivered by Professor of Philosophy and Theology Conor Cunningham from the University of Nottingham, will go over some of these themes in an accessible and captivating way. The lecture purposely avoids to put forward any conclusion, but it raises a number of interesting questions. Does the epistemic parity between creationism and evolutionary biology mean that neither of them should be taught as part of the standard curriculum? Or should we teach both, but with an intellectually honest attitude that neither is quite scientific? And then, does this mean that we should trust and pursue both to the same extent? Or should we invest our efforts to develop the most plausible hypothesis in a way that will finally make it stand out from religion? Isn't it better to be honest about the status of our best scientific theories, such that future students can know their limits and attempt to improve them, rather than dogmatically believing that they amount to proven knowledge when, in fact, they're far from it?